everyone knows what the chait of the spies, the Meraglim, was. There doesn't seem to be any dispute as to what the chait of the Meraglim was, as the Torah tells us, Vayalu, Vayasuru, Es Haaretz, that they went up and they spied out the land, Vayisaprulo, Vayomru, and they reported to him and they said, Banu El Haaretz, Asher Shalachtanu, we arrived at the land into which you sent us, Vigam, Zavas Chalav Davashi, it's flowing with milk and honey. However, Ephes, Ki az ha'am hayoshev ba'aretz. The people that dwell in this land, they're fortified, they're strong, they're giants. And the Amalekim, yoshev ba'aretz ha'negev. That was the chait. The question that one has to ask is why? Why did they sin? What was behind the chait? What was motivating the chait, the sin? After all, these were anashim chashuvim. They were important people. They were the nesi ha'eda. They were the tribal leaders. What was ultimately the reason behind such an egregious act? As we saw yesterday, that the Meraglim, the Nesiim, the leaders, tremendous Talmidei Chachamim, they were on the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. They would be the leaders of our generation and beyond. And as we saw yesterday, they don't have a share in the world to come. What was motivating their actions? The Mesilas Yesharim tells us in Perek Yud Aleph that it was kavod, it was an honor. After all, they were concerned, they were frightened that their positions of prominence would be compromised once they came into Eretz Yisrael. They would no longer be the tribal leaders, they would be like the Hamon Am. And they liked being in charge. They liked their positions of prominence. They weren't ready to relinquish their roles as tribal leaders, as leaders of Am Yisrael. And therefore, they came back to Am Yisrael and they said, this is not a land that we can conquer. They're bigger than us. They're mightier than us. They're stronger than us. It's impossible, unfathomable that we can come and overtake these people. That was the position of the Mesilas Yesharim. The Sephorno comes and tells us something different. The Sephorno comes and says, based on the Pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Perech of Zayin, Besinas Hashem. It was because Hashem had hated us that He took us out of Mitzrayim to give us into the hands of the Amorim, that they should come and destroy us, annihilate us. And the Sephorno on that Pasuk comes and tells us, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hates Am Yisrael? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu hate these people? So the Sephorno comes and tells us that the rationale of Klal Yisrael as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated them and ultimately wanted them to conquer the land was not to conquer the land, but was rather to be taken in by the Amorites, and that the Amorites should kill Klal Yisrael. Almasha avanu avodas gelulim b'mitzrayim. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu devise such a plan? Klal Yisrael felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hated them because they had served idols in Mitzrayim. Sha'af al pi shi'esh l'kel yado lichvo shesha amorim l'hamisam. Even though it was within HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to come and conquer the Amorites and to kill them, Yitein osanu biyodam lehinakeim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give us to the hands of the Amorites in order to exact revenge because we denied HaKadosh Baruch Hu's authenticity. When a person comes or when people come and serve idols, it denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu's omnipotence. It denies His achdus, His yachad, His echad in the world. And as revenge for that egregious act of Avodah Zarah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had determined that he was going to take them out of Egypt and bring them into the land of Israel just so that the Amorites can come and be the Sheluchei HaMakom, the agents of God, to exact revenge against Klal Yisrael. In other words, the way Reb Chaim Kamil in his Sefer Imrei Chaim explains it, Klal Yisrael Tanu Betos, that they had a misguided thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had hated them and wanted to exact revenge, and ultimately that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought them out of Mitzrayim to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. So that's the understanding of the Svarno as to why the Jews had come and had spoken Lashon Hara, why it was that they had spoken these ideas, was because they had thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had hated them, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted to kill them, and therefore they weren't prepared to go into Eretz Yisrael. They didn't want to be destroyed and killed. They didn't want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should use the Amorites as a tool to exact revenge upon Klal Yisrael. And that ultimately is what caused them to speak Dibas Ra al Haaretz, because they were concerned that ultimately it would lead to their demise. And then we have the Yalkut Shmoni. The Yalkut Shmoni tells us that the reason why Klal Yisrael had spoken Lashon Hara, or had not wanted to go into Eretz Yisrael, why they had come and spoken to the people and said, we can't inhabit the land, is the Medrash tells us, Amru l'Moshe, they said to Moshe, Kevar hivtichanu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised, guaranteed us, v'amar lanu, and told us, She'anu nichnasin le'eretz Kenan, that we're going to enter Eretz Kenan v'yarshin kol tov, and we're going to inherit only good. As it says, U'batim maleim kol tov, that the houses were filled with good. The Hare Shamu Sha'anu Nichnasim, when they're going to hear, the inhabitants of the land are going to hear that we're coming. Vehem Osim Bate Mutmanios, and what they're going to do is they're going to build houses, secret houses, to store all of the Tov, all of the good, all of the Zahav, all of the gold and the silver. And therefore, Im Matminim Heim Es Mamonam, if they're going to come and hide their money, Va'anu Nichnasim, and we're going to enter Velo Nimsa Klum, and we're not going to find anything. Nimsa Diburo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Batal. Klal Yisrael had spoken and said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's words will become batal. They're not going to be actualized. There will not be any gold and silver. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to look like a liar. And therefore they had sent spies in advance to see what's the best place, where's the best place to go. And ultimately, when they came back, they had spoken and they had said, we can't inhabit the land, but they did it in such a way that would express that they didn't want HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look like a liar. So we understand what they did. They spied out the land, but it's very confusing as to why they did it. We have all of these different explanations, whether it's the Yalkut Shmoni, or whether it's the Seforno, or whether it's the Mesilas Yesharim. So many different explanations. They can't all be accurate. Which one is the reason as to why they had sent spies to search the land? Is it the Seforno? Is it the Mesilas Yesharim? Or is it the Yalkut Shimoni, the Medrash? An additional question. Rashi in this week's Parsha asks a very interesting question. Lama Nismucha Parshas Miraglim, the Parshas Miriam. What is the juxtaposition of ideas between the story of the Miraglim, which is at the beginning of Parsha Shlach, and the end of last week's Parsha, Parshas Bahaloscha, that talked about Miriam speaking Lashon Hara against her brother? So Rashi says the juxtaposition is as follows. Lefi shelokto al iske diba shedibra be'acheha. The fact that she was punished for speaking Lashon Hara against her illustrious brother Moshe, or Rishon Halalu, these evil people, they saw what had happened, velo lachu Musar, and they did not take Musar. They didn't learn from the episode of Miriam. The Mefarshim explained from this Rashi, it appears that the reason why they were punished has nothing to do per se with Lashon Hara, but it has everything to do with the fact that they didn't look at what happened to Miriam. They saw what had happened and they didn't take stock. They didn't internalize what had happened. Rashi doesn't tell us per se necessarily that they were punished for the Lashon Hara. It's Ra'u, they saw Velo Lachu Musar, and they didn't take stock. They didn't internalize what had happened to Miriam. According to the words of Rashi, if there was some way that we could have ascertained that they did take Musar, then perhaps they wouldn't have been punished. But the obvious question that one has to ask is maybe they were not wrong for not taking Musar. After all, Miriam had spoken Lashon Hara against Moshe Rabbeinu. He's a person. The whole idea behind Lashon Hara, why it's so terrible, is it's destructive to the person you're speaking about. And therefore, one shouldn't engage in such a terrible act. But Eretz Yisrael is not a person. Why should they have taken Musar? They're two totally different dynamics. One is speaking Lashon Hara against the person, and therefore Miriam was deserving of her punishment that she had spoken against Moshe Rabbeinu, that ultimately it could have undermined and jeopardized Moshe Rabbeinu's position as the undisputed leader of Klal Yisrael. And then you have the spies, the Meraglim, who are coming and speaking Lashon Hara against a land. Why should they take Musar? Why should they have assumed that it's the same, it's one of the same, when they're two totally different ideas? In order to answer this question, one has to come and try to understand what was Miriam's taina, what was Miriam's complaint upon Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah tells us, Vatidaber Miriam va'aharon b'Moshe al audos ha'isha hakushis asher lokach. That Miriam and Aaron had spoken against Moshe concerning the Isha Hakushis, referring to Tzipporah, whom he had married. And they said, Vayomru, Harak ach b'Moshe diber Hashem, halo gam bonu diber. Was it only to Moshe that Hashem had spoken? Did he not speak to us as well? Essentially, what Miriam was complaining about is why would there and why should there be a double standard with Moshe Rabbeinu? Why would Moshe Rabbeinu be any different than any other prophet? We're also prophets. We also speak with God, and yet we have family life. So why would Moshe Rabbeinu ask Miriam be any different? He's a prophet, and we're a prophet. Now, ultimately, it wasn't an invalid statement of Miriam. They're both prophets. Maybe there should not have been a double standard. But yet Hashem says it's not true. Moshe Rabbeinu is greater. And it wasn't for you, Miriam, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to start bringing Tainos and to start rationalizing your Nevuah versus Moshe's Nevuah. You were giving a Svara. You, Miriam, were giving logic as to why Moshe should not be held to a different standard. You, Miriam, were coming and suggesting Misvara out of logic. That just as we have families, Moshe Rabbeinu should act no different with his family. We have a spouse, he has a spouse. We speak to God, he speaks to God. That's a svara, that's logic, that's Miriam's own logic coming and trying to determine and adjudicate and make a halacha that should be universal. That was Miriam's problem. Perhaps the logic indeed was correct. What she was suggesting, maybe there wasn't a flaw. But she doesn't have a right to come and say her own svara, her own logic, when we're dealing with Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu has a din halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Moshe Rabbeinu is a totally separate halacha. Just as when the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva had come and asked a question, and there wasn't any rational response, but Rabbi Akiva came and said, it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So too, Miriam had to understand, she had to know, that one doesn't question and one doesn't use svara when it comes to Moshe Rabbeinu. Or for that matter, one doesn't come and use svara by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as well. And that ultimately was the ta'os. That was the mistake of the Meraglim. So we saw the Mesilas Yesharim. We saw the Yalkut Shmoni. We saw the Seforno. Each and every one of them had given an explanation as to why the Meraglim felt compelled either to speak Lashon Hara or not to want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And each of them were valid. Each of them was looking out for the greater good of Am Yisrael, whether the tribal leaders needing to lead, they felt that Klal Yisrael needs leaders, or looking out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's best interest, that if we come and we check out the land and we don't find the spoils, only HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look bad. All of those are svaras, their logic. All of those are valid tainas, are valid statements. Except there's one problem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told Klal Yisrael that I'm going to take you out of Mitzrayim and bring you into the land that's flowing with milk and honey. The problem with the Tainos, with the statements of the Meraglim, however altruistic, however involved they were in thinking about the greater good, they were svaras. And in a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and says to Avraham in the Bris Ben Hapsarim, they're going to be enslaved for many, many years. But V'achari kein yetzu b'rechush gadol, and ultimately I'm going to take them into the land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's not up to the Meraglim or any other person to have a taina, to start using logic. Because just as Moshe Rabbeinu is halacha l'Moshe Misinai, so too HaKadosh Baruch Hu is as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he makes a statement, whether it makes sense or not, it's not for the Meraglim to start questioning the Almighty. And that ultimately was the downfall of the Meraglim. It's really all one reason. And that is using rational thought, using their own logic to come and negate a statement of Hashem. We don't come and question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And ultimately we see this, we manifest itself in the Gemara in Maseches Brachos. The Gemara tells us a dialogue between Yoshiyahu and Chizkiyahu. Kimeis atah velo tichya. That ultimately Chizkiyahu was told that you are going to die and you will not live. And Chizkiyahu says to Yishayahu, says the Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Dav Yudam Ad Aleph, my kulei hai, what is the reason for all of this? Why do I deserve such a harsh penalty? Amar le Yishayahu says to Chizkiyahu, Mishum delo asakta b'piria v'rivya, because you didn't involve yourself in the mitzvah of procreation of Pur Revu. So Amar le Chizkiyahu says to Yoshiyahu, the only reason why I didn't, Mishum dechazoi li beruach hakodesh, because I saw a vision, a divine vision, denafki minai binin delo ma'alu. I saw through Ruach HaKodesh that a child who was unvirtuous, who was a Rasha, who was an evil person, will come forth from me. And obviously we know that he had a son, Menashe, who was a wicked, evil person that brought about Avodah Zarah. Klal Yisrael had reached such a low level with Menashe at the helm. And he saw through Ruach HaKodesh that that child was going to come from him. And he said, how is it possible that I can come and be Mekayim the mitzvah of Pur Revu, knowing that such a Rasha is going to come from my seed? And ultimately, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, based upon this Gemara, She'ein ha'onesh ha'chamor ha'niskar kan, that the great punishment of not having a place in this world nor the world to come was not because he was mevatel the mitzvos asay of Pur Revu. We don't find anywhere that a person doesn't have a share in the world to come because he didn't come and involve himself in the mitzvah of procreation. But says Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, the reason why he was punished so greatly is al hatam shanasan ledavar, because he gave an explanation, the chazoi beruach hakodesh, the nafka minoi binyan delomalu, because he gave logic, he gave a svar as to why he's not going to come and fulfill a mitzvah's Hashem. It's one thing not to engage in a mitzvah, but to give an explanation, a svara, a virtuous svara. It made perfect sense. This child was going to come and bring a charban to Am Yisrael. It was a noble act, willing to give of himself for the sake of the people. Who doesn't want to have a child? But he saw in Ruach HaKodesh that this child was going to be an evil one. And therefore he said, I'm not going to fulfill the mitzvah. And that is precisely why Yoshiyahu tells Chizkiyahu, explains Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that not only is he going to be killed in this world, he's not going to have a share in the world to come. Because it's not our place to use logic, svaros, to negate the Ratzon Hashem, the will of God. The Meraglim had a svara, Klal Yisrael needs leaders. We have to ensure that Klal Yisrael has a place to turn. And therefore, we're going to ensure that they have us. We're going to go come and speak slander about the land. It was virtuous. They wanted to be there for the people. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you're going to inhabit the land. It's not for them to come and start make up their own logic, their own svara. Or perhaps
the explanation of not wanting the words of Hashem to look as if there was no kiyum, there was no fulfillment to the words of Hashem. And therefore, we're not going to want to go into Eretz Yisrael. Because if we go into Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to look like a liar. It was virtuous. They had noble intentions. But that wasn't the Ratz on Hashem. It wasn't their job. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that ultimately I'm going to take you out of Egypt and take you into the land of Israel. It's not for you to make those cheshbonos, make those calculations. Or what about the statement HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only taking us out to exact revenge. We don't want to be used as a pawn of God. We want to live. We want to fulfill more mitzvos. If we die at the hands of the Amorites, we're not going to be able to learn Torah. We're not going to be able to do mitzvos. It's only because they thought Hashem hated them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to think, however crazy that sounds. There's such an idea that's called a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. A halacha l'Moshe Misinai means that it doesn't make sense. A chok doesn't make sense. And in truth, the entirety of the Torah is a chok. We ultimately don't have or know the reasons behind why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to do something. Or why something happens in the Torah. Or why HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists we do this. There isn't any rationale or why HaKadosh Baruch Hu insists that we go into Eretz Yisrael. Or why there are mitzvot that are specific to Eretz Yisrael. Nobody knows the reasons. And that was the issue. As Klal Yisrael's biggest sin wasn't Lashon Hara, but it was that they didn't take Musar. They didn't learn from Miriam. Not that she spoke Lashon Hara versus against the person versus they spoke against the land. Because if it simply is Lashon Hara, then how should Klal Yisrael take Musar? How should the Meraglim take Musar? One is talking to about a person and one is talking to a land. The answer is they should have taken Musar because Miriam's whole taina was a svara, was using her own logic to explain why Moshe Rabbeinu is no different than Miriam and Aaron. Where did she get that from? Did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell it to her? Not at all. That was her own logic. That was her own svara. That was her own made-up thought. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to set the record straight and bring them all together and let them know that ultimately Moshe Rabbeinu was held to a higher standard. The Meraglim should have seen what happens. This is what happens when you come up with your own svaras. So is there really difference of opinions as to what the Meraglim ultimately did that brought about their demise? Or what their logic or svara was? The answer is no. There is no difference. Just the idea of making up logic. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu said explicitly that you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, that is what was wrong. And that's what they should have learned from Miriam. Not the Lashon Hara per se, but the idea of giving a svara, logic, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and tells us something totally that counters any logic that a person might have. Have a wonderful night. And thank you.